Hosannas. Hosanna, did you sing Hosanna? Hosanna, Hosanna, celebrations and all of the excitement and the kids and the dancing and the parade and the king in victory coming into Jerusalem. But we're in the middle of some tough times right now. Someone said these are unprecedented times. I don't know. I can't really tell you how it felt right after December 7th, 1941. I can't really tell you what it felt like during the Spanish flu. I can't really tell you what it felt like during some of those other eras in the history of humanity when life was very difficult indeed. But we've got wars and Russia and Israel and Hamas, and near to my heart, the nation of Haiti, taken over by gangs, atrocities, pain for good people. Paradise, an island in the tropics, is not paradise at all. We're in the midst of a broken political system that has resulted in all kinds of problems, including a broken immigration system. And I am stunned by the repeated incidents of gun violence. Not to mention tragedies, natural events of fires and tornadoes and floods, and I haven't heard of any earthquakes recently. They are there. I've also noticed that when I was younger and more enthusiastic, I was not aware of aches and pains of getting old, of Arthur, you've met Arthur, his name is arthritis, and he is bugging me seriously, friends with cancer, woes and pains, and we just got out of COVID, yet we're sort of still in COVID, yet we never got to mourn COVID. My oldest daughter, Corinne, lost to COVID. Broke our hearts, still does. Heart disease, eye disease, eye failures. I didn't used to wear glasses. Now, I can't even see with them. Those of you who are young, count your blessings, say hurrah. Celebrate, get a lot done before we begin to age. Aging. Good friend who passed, it was in the previous church I served. She said, the only thing golden about our golden years is our teeth. Aging is a challenge to us, and yet it challenges us to turn to our faith. We are seeing the shrinking of churches and congregations worldwide, and a shrinking of people who claim to be people of faith worldwide. So here it is, Palm Sunday, and it doesn't seem like it's Palm Sunday, if you want to be honest. We could celebrate, and I could tell you rosy, wonderful things, and we could shout hosannas and sing wonderful songs, and maybe we should, but we need to also be aware that today is two-part Sunday. It's Passion Palm Sunday. Palm Passion Sunday. See, we always celebrate the palm processional, but on this Sunday, too, we can and perhaps need to remember that this is Passion Sunday. Jesus' passion, it's a strange term, but it refers to his Last Supper with his disciples, knowing that it was the end. Being captured, suffering, being crucified, and suffering, and dying. This is the Sunday to acknowledge all of those, because next Sunday is Easter Sunday. It's the end of the Holy Week. It's the culmination. It's where we're all headed, but it passes the passion too easily. And perhaps that's one of the things that as churches we have failed to do is be honest about the fact that we will experience the passion just as Jesus did. Jesus died. It's not just a footnote. It's not just a brief glimpse of a section. He died. And to rush past that is to ignore not only the gift, but to acknowledge that it's a part of who and what we are on this earth. So Palm Sunday is wonderful. It's a celebration of Jesus and the glory and the celebrations and the happy and laughing and kids and cloaks thrown on the road and making a pleasant path for the Lord and on a donkey, on a colt. But it's also acknowledging that even in the midst of all of this, there is also hard life and hard things and tragedies, and God is still with us. So on Palm Sunday, we might say, here is God, celebration. But a Passion Palm Sunday might say, where is God? And we have failed when, as a church, we have parishioners who join the church and who work to be faithful and are good people and who do all the right things, and tragedy strikes them. And they say, there is no God. Where is God to allow this to happen? How could bad things happen? We're churchgoers. I put money in the plate. I give. I'm faithful. I read the Bible. Don't understand it always, but I read it as best I can. I try and follow along and live a good life, and yet I pray, and sometimes my prayers are not answered. And some people say, well, that's proof that there is no God. And yet we know as an Easter people that on those times when we cannot walk, God carries us. Remember that footsteps poem thing? Either man walking along and he says there's two pair of footsteps in the sand behind us, but he notices that at some points there's only one pair of footprints, and says, God, where did you go? Why did you leave me in those hard times, in those painful times? And it isn't God left, but God carried. It's an important way that we need to acknowledge that God is always there. Let's do that again. God is always there. Amen? Where there is suffering, there is God. Where there is hurting, there is God. Where there is caregiving, there is God. We need to be thankful for that, and we need to acknowledge that. The psalm, I inserted it into the call to worship. You heard pieces of that. Piece that I didn't insert in Psalm 18 says, we thank you, God, that you have answered us and have become our salvation. This is Psalms. This is before Jesus' birth. But it is also as we understand and know and can look back retrospectively and recognize that God has always been and has always part of us and Christ in the midst of all of that. So here's a Christian scripture in the Old Testament. Did you sing along with the VBS song? I didn't have the energy. I didn't jump continuously all the way through the song. That was lovely. That was a lot of years ago before I did that. But the song, the lyrics, your love has saved me. You rescued me. You know, we're busy reading the words and trying to do the motions, trying to figure out the notes, and sometimes we don't hear what's being said. Your love has saved me. You rescued me. Those are good, important words to hear. When there is sorrow instead of joy, God has not gone, but God is there even more. Not that we would want to experience suffering, to experience more God. That's not necessary either. So there are two faiths then, aren't there? There's a Palm Sunday faith of celebration and singing and parading. There's a Passion Sunday faith of knowing that we got kicked out of the garden, or we walked ourselves out of the garden and into a world that is not free from pain and suffering. But in the midst of all of that, we are not alone. Just as Jesus suffered and died, he rose again. And in that rising, there's hope for us. Jesus, pure, innocent, didn't deserve to die. Those are the hardest sermons that I ever have to give. A funeral, I had a beautiful young man, just graduated. He was full of energy and life and talent and ability. First in his oldest son and beloved of all, just a kind person. He was kind of a scalawag at times, but that just made him more beloved. Early one morning, getting ready to go to work, drove the car up to an intersection and looked for traffic right into the sun, didn't see anybody, pulled out and got T-bone killed. And the family said, no, this can't be. This can't be. God, you can't let this happen. This is not possible. How can you be God and be a loving God and let our beloved son be gone? And God was with them, and God was carrying them. But remember that God's son died as well. Innocent, pure Jesus died, suffered, and died. It wasn't just a quick transition of from the cross right up to heaven. Jesus did, just like humanity understands death. And then alive again, and calling to him all of those others. On this Palm Sunday, I don't know about you, but I have to lift up all of the family that I have that I've lost, that have passed before me, my mom and my dad and Corinne. And on these special holiday moments, we think of them, don't we? Remember, and I wasn't going to get teary here, but I'm struggling not to. I'll try. And then the reality is there's pain and there's loss, and yet there's also celebration because we know they're looking down on us, and they're okay and they're smiling through the gift of Christ and the resurrection. God is good, only good. And God does not do these bad things. They happen in the world, in a natural world, in a world that is not Eden. God doesn't cause those bad things. God doesn't punish even under the third or fourth generation. You know, the Old Testament was trying to explain away why some things happen to good people. Oh, your parents or your grandparents must have done something bad. Jesus said, no, that's not the way that works. That's the way, not the way God works. But bad things do happen, and we need to acknowledge that and acknowledge that a church of Jesus Christ, a faithful church of Jesus Christ, acknowledges life and also hardship and pain, and yet God faithful. So pause with me a minute. Let's just pray for a second. And let's give thanks to God that when tragedies and evil of life impact us, God is here. Thanks be to God that amidst wars, God is here. Thanks be to God that amidst natural disasters, God is here. Thanks be to God that amidst divisions and lies and mistrust, God is here. Thanks be to God that amidst hospitals and illness and pain, God is here. Thanks be to God for this beautiful morning to celebrate amidst the chaos. Thanks be to God for this morning to sing Hosanna and to laugh and to sing and to celebrate. Thanks be to God for everything and everyone here on heaven and in the hereafter. Thanks be to God. Amen.